You're listening to the Berkman Audio Fishbowl from the Berkman Center for Internet and Society at Harvard University. Each week, we feature conversations with leading cyber scholars, entrepreneurs, activists, and policymakers as they explore the bleeding edge of the internet and technology, democracy, law, and society. For more information on the Berkman Center and for more programs like this, visit cyber.law.harvard.edu.
You know that I've grown up as a community organizer, and I'm taught to fear rooms like this, a bunch of people sitting around, who knows what you're typing, who knows what you're saying about the work we're doing. No, I'm just kidding. It's good to be here. Gosh, I guess I was here about 6 years ago. I went to the Divinity School, and I don't know that I've been back, maybe once since then. And I was talking to Nico earlier. You'll have to forgive me. I'm still in recovery mode after the campaign. I've actually haven't really taken a break yet. I've been in Chicago working on our post-election task force wrap-up, making sure we keep all the data and do a bunch of analysis of what has happened on the campaign. So I haven't taken a break yet. I have not gone to the beach yet. So if I just start mumbling incoherently, please forgive me. It's been a long 2 years. I want to start with it's Colin, right? I love what he said about the jazz and the classical music, because that's a lot what I want to talk about, sort of building on what Marshall said, is this sort of interdependence between the technology, the new media, and the field organizing that's been going on. And I believe that, you know, where we are today, when we get into campaigns or we get into social movements or advocacy organizing that doesn't have that interdependence, we leave a lot on the table on both sides. And it's this balance that I think we began to take from infancy to adolescence, from the 04 cycle to this cycle, but have not even come close to the power that we have to connect the technology with the real organizing and some of the conditions that Marshall talked about. I also just want to say, and then I'm going to tell some stories. Just want to say that the technology, in my mind, and this also hopefully will provoke some thought, is in many ways the net, or as Marshall talks about, the hammer, but not necessarily the engine. And that when we go in and set up a strategy or come up with how we're going to run a campaign and how we're going to get the votes we need, when we take the technology and try to fit the strategy into that technology, I think we've also done a disservice to the work that we're trying to do. When we've come up with a strategy and a program, and then said, what resources do we have in order to do this, and thought about that as we're coming up with a strategy, I think we've been more successful. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that in four parts, four different states that I was in the campaign, and some of the technology that I believe helped us get the votes that we needed to, and that then show the interdependence between the two, and also talks about that last point about really having the strategy first and then figuring out what technology we had to make it even better. So about 2 years ago, a little under 2 years ago, it's April 11th, 2007, and I find myself, the first day, I find myself in South Carolina, in a state that, you know, may not be the most tech-savvy state in the nation, may not have as many internet users as California per capita. And I find myself there on the 11th, and there's an event with Obama on the 13th, 2 days from then. And the night before, we're putting together the tickets that we're going to use for people to get into the event. And you know, we put on there the line about, you know, we want your email address, and we're going to try to capture that from people that come there. But as we started, look, we were in Florence, South Carolina, which is maybe less connected to the online world than other parts of South Carolina. It's an area called the PD. Somebody had the great idea of saying, well, you know, not as many people have the internet out there, but we should definitely add a line for their cell phones and put a little box that says, you know, that they'd be willing to get texts from the campaign. It's something they've started in Chicago. We should really start to do this. So we put it on there, and a lot of people put their information on there and tell us that they want to get texts from the campaign. And we continue to do this throughout the campaign in South Carolina as very simple, very small thing. We had the Oprah rally in December, 30,000 people come. I stand up on stage terrified in front of all these folks and ask them, you know, to text in, you know, their information. And we start building a mechanism to communicate with people throughout the state that was an alternative to just sort of the main technology that a lot of people think of. I think it was sort of under-reported and under-talked about, but we had the ability through this technology, we were building, as Marshall talked about, this team structure throughout the state where people were really taking ownership over what they were doing. But we had the ability to text out those team members information about the campaign that we wouldn't text out to other folks. And the ability to get volunteers, which what I'm very interested in is how to use this technology to move people. So as volunteers are out canvassing on a Saturday, we would get them all to text in, and we would get them to text back in pictures and send those back out to folks as a way to move them, as a way to motivate them, as a way to connect them to what was happening throughout the state. Very small story, but I'm going to just use that. And then the second thing from South Carolina, and I'll come back to sort of how all these stories tie together, is that early on we started a house meeting program that was really sort of the foundation of building the leaders that we needed, that we thought we needed in order to win. And Sam Graham Felsen and some of the folks from Chicago came down and shot video about the strategy. And we had been talking about it, and we had been, I put it on paper, and everybody signed off on the field plan, but no one really knew what we were doing in reality, right? I mean, people kind of knew there was a little bit different, and as Steve Hildebrand will tell you, he was a little bit concerned, but thought, well, we'll worry about that later. And it didn't sound like sort of the traditional doors and phones program that needed to be done in order to identify the voters we needed. But they trusted us enough to do this. But what the video did, and I'll talk about this more when I get to the Ohio part of the story, was really tell a story. It was the power of that video, but more importantly than putting it online and putting it into context as a way that people would go sign up to do their own meeting, which would give us leads for our organizers, but more importantly as a way to tell the story to the rest of the campaign internally and to the larger community about what we were doing that was different and had a profound impact. And I'm going to talk more about video in a second. So fast forward. We're fortunate enough to squeak by with a 29-point win down there, all because of our text message program. fast forward to Maryland.
Is that on the record?
That is definitely not on the record. I think I'm being videotaped, so everything I say is on the record. And, no, that is also a joke. But, definitely helped. It was, though, the first, at 7:31 p.m., all of those volunteers knew that we had won the election. And how did they find out? They found out through our text message program. So at least we were able to communicate information to them through that. So fast forward through to Maryland. I get to Maryland. There's 14 days to run an election. There's an awesome group that has started there, and this should not be sort of minimized, who had organized themselves using a lot of the tools that the folks in Chicago had built, and Chris, I see, has come in, around MyBall communities, and had organized themselves on the ground as well. But we still get there, and there's 14 days, and we sort of have this ambitious goal of actually impacting the election in some way in 14 days. So we set up 14 offices quickly throughout the state. We have about a dozen organizers. And I get there on Tuesday, and on Saturday, we really only have 2 weekends of GOTV canvassing. So we decide we're going to see what happens. It seems to be a little bit more of a connected state. So we set up all of these canvases across the state, and we just shoot it out through the MyBo groups and through emails. And 1,200 folks sign up to volunteer that Saturday in 24 hours in Montgomery County alone. That was the first time I realized that I'm in a different environment than I had been in for the last 9 months in terms of the power of the internet, and the connection that people had was a lot more real there. But also people had not been involved in Democratic presidential politics. It never mattered there before, so people were more excited. But simply by sending that out, and it's sort of a simple thing, we were able to sort of capture through the net the people that wanted to get involved, bring them in, and then get them into training around their GOTV roles, and build in 14 days an infrastructure that was able to, on election day, talk to every single targeted voter, go to their door 3 times. And that was only possible through the connection of the training that happened once we brought people in, and obviously the MyBo groups and other things to get people there in the first place. All right, then I travel 2 hours north and go from a 25-point victory to a 27-point deficit when we get there, and I realize, wow, this country is very different when you travel different places. Here I end up in Pennsylvania. And we have a little bit longer time, 8 weeks. No one's paying attention because Ohio and Texas are going on, and everybody thinks if we win one of those, it doesn't matter. So good luck. Here's 12 people. Here's a very large state. Here's a little bit of money. Here's a Jeremiah Wright scandal and other things. Have fun. Oh, and by the way, you're down 27 points. No one in the political infrastructure is supporting you, and et cetera, et cetera. But we're going to build teams again. So we have 8 weeks. We figure we have the ability to really build an infrastructure that has the ability to change, you know, the election. So this is sort of where technology, I think, is probably one of the best examples that I have. We have no offices. We're getting them set up. And as you know, if you've been out on the trail, it takes a while to get telephones in these offices. But there's some online tools that have been developed that enabled us to take this team structure that we had built, and we called it the PA Teams tool, which was an online calling tool that you could go into and say, I live in this precinct, and it would connect you with people in the group and give you whatever lists the organizer or we would decide we were going to be targeting in that area. It turns out that tool ended up becoming basically Neighbor to Neighbor and some of the other tools that were used on the campaign in the general election. But it was the classics and the jazz coming together. It was this fantastic tool that allowed you to do tons of really interesting things about competing amongst yourselves, about seeing what was being done, about hitting goals and seeing them there without having the infrastructure of an office, but having the ability for an organizer to go in and see what was happening and make and sort of connect those folks together and make sure that there was organizing happening, and it wasn't just like, oh, you know, go online and make five calls. It was a real accountable structure that people felt like they were a part of a community, like they do in the MyBo groups and other things. And so that was, I think, one of the times where the classics and jazz came together the best. And then the last story I'll tell is Ohio, where I was in the general, where we spent a lot of time in Chicago after the primary, looking at what worked best, and spent some time with the new media folks talking about some of the technology and neighbor-to-neighbor and other things were born for the general election. There were two things, I think, in Ohio that sort of were the classics and the jazz coming together. One again, was video. And we had we were lucky. We had two new media guys who are some of the best guys I've ever worked with, who also happened to have won, both of them, a bunch of film awards for independent films that they had shot. I didn't know either of them had won these awards. I just knew that they were good new media folks who I'd met along the way. One had been a volunteer in California, ended up as a volunteer in Pennsylvania, and just did great work with what we had given him to do. But we started to shoot all sorts of video. And it goes back to what I said about what happened in South Carolina. It was one of the most important things that we did in a weird way, because it told the story about what we were doing. It brought people together. We would shoot video about our voter reg drives. We would shoot video about, you know, some of our house meetings. We shot a video called Come to Ohio for people that come from out of state that was just very, very powerful, very moving. And I think a lot of that, what we were doing is just telling the story. And we were doing it through video. It was very powerful. But we always connected it to an action that someone could take. So when the video was up there, as you see on all these websites, there was an action to be taken, specific action around what the story we were telling. And that was, I think, just a huge example of the power of sort of this technology and getting people into action and getting them mobilized. And then the last thing there was, we nationally set up a very, very smart website called voteforchange.com, which allowed people to go in. One big part of our strategy that we had developed was around voter registration. And this site allowed people to go in and download voter reg forms and then, you know, turn them in. And you know, 700,000 plus folks across the country, downloaded this form. But what it allowed us to do is, as every individual downloaded the form, an organizer would get that information and know that they had somebody to follow up with. And we originally thought, well, this is going to be a fantastic way to sort of, you know, to get more people registered and follow up with them. It ended up being one of the biggest generators of volunteers we had on the campaign, because these were a lot of young people, a lot of people that were really psyched. They've sought it out themselves, and we were able to capture the information, follow up with them quickly, and get them engaged on the ground. And, you know, that happens a ton when people just come up and sign up and other things. But this was just a very specific thing. They felt very much connected to the campaign because we were calling to make sure they did this. And a lot of people were like, you know what, it's sitting on my counter right now. I'm going to go do it right now. And you know what, I'll just come down to the office and get involved in the campaign. So those are four stories, I think, of, you know, very simple. And we want to get into conversation. of how we use technology to motivate folks and to get them into action, which is something that I'm really interested in, is the merger between the two. They were almost all designed with field people and new media folks sitting together. Oftentimes in campaigns, there's this, and I think people are still trying to figure out, right? 2004, it was like, what's new media? 2008, it's like new media works, but like, is it communications? Is it field? Is it some, you know, is it its own thing? And if it is its own department, you know, who do they report to? Who do they talk to? How does it work? And, you know, a lot of these things that I'm talking about were actually, you know, where we sat together and had the strategy and knew we were trying to figure out where to go. And we're trying to figure out how to make organizing and online organizing work together. So I'll leave it there with those four stories, and then I think now we're going to open it up for a real conversation.